you're having an awesome weekend, and I'm so glad you're here as we continue the series we've been in on the Ten Commandments. And if you have a Bible, I want to invite you to open it to Exodus chapter 20. As you're opening that, I want to start us off today just asking you a few questions. If you'd answer these honestly. First one's this. Do you ever get tired just thinking about everything you have to get done the next week? You ever get tired just thinking about it? How about this? Do you ever walk into work on Monday just as tired as when you walked out on Friday? You ever been there? This. Do you ever feel guilty not checking your work email one day a week? You ever feel guilty taking a day off? Well, if you answered yes to any of those questions, I want to tell you that this message is for you. Actually, this message is for me. I've answered yes to those questions at different seasons, at different times throughout my life. I remember my first job right out of college. I was working for this large tech company, and it seemed like I always felt pressure to work on my day off. This is probably a message for the majority of us. Some of us feel that as well. The recent study by the Society of Human Resources found that 70% of us feel like we need to extend our work over all 7 days of the week. Maybe that's where you're at. You might say, well, gosh, Ashley, now that you're working in a church, I mean, it has to be a lot easier, right? I mean, you don't feel that pressure anymore. Not exactly. Here it's like, you know, we have this big vision and we want to reach this valley. We have, you know, 300 plus employees. I work Saturday and Sunday now every weekend, and it always seems like there's another project going on, another construction thing. But the greatest pressure I feel here in my job, work pressure and time pressure, is what I'm doing right now. I mean, it's like every single Monday morning I'm preaching, I walk into work and it's like I get an email that says, hey, in 5 days, you have to make sure you have a 30-minute message prepared for up to 25 to 30,000 people, and it better be good. I mean, some people's lives depend on it, you know, and so I'm like, wow, okay, you know, so I mean, I just always feel the pressure, but it's not me. I mean, it's not just me. It's all of us. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're a student, it doesn't matter if you're a teacher, it doesn't matter if you work for the government, if you're a business owner, if you're just an employee somewhere, it doesn't matter if you're a stay-at-home mom. For all of us, at some point, we feel like there's more to do, and there just seems like there's not enough time to get it done. And because of that, if we got honest, a lot of us, most of us, we'd describe our lives at times as restless. We just get restless. Now, if you peeled the onion back on just why many of us feel restless, I think this is what's underneath it many times. It's that restlessness is often rooted in the fear of falling behind. It's like we're always afraid, hey, are we falling behind in that area? I mean, think of if you're married right now or you have a boyfriend or girlfriend, are you doing enough so that the relationship will stay intact? I mean, if you're a student, are you falling behind on your grades? If you're a parent, you know GPA is great for your kids, but that's not enough these days. I mean, they have to be in extracurricular activities and clubs and club sports, and so are you doing enough for them not to fall behind, for them to get into that top school you want them to get into? I mean, if you're an employee, are you doing enough to keep your job, not only keep your job, but hopefully one day get promoted, you know, make a little bit more, you know, your hopes and dreams? If you're a business owner, my goodness, the stress you feel. Someone's always trying to pull your business away from you and your profitability. I mean, all of us feel this way. And yet, if we stepped back from it all and we just kind of looked at it at a high level, I think we could argue it's a little odd that we feel so much like restlessness. Here's why. We now live in the richest society that's ever existed in the history of the world. And yet we wonder sometimes if we have enough. I mean, we live longer now than any other culture ever has. We have more time-saving devices now. I mean, we can do things. We can make a pizza that used to take 30 minutes in 3 minutes. And we can find answers that used to take days in 3 seconds on Google. I mean, we have time-saving devices now that were science fiction, you know, just 20 years ago. And yet we still feel this. It's kind of odd. What is it? What's behind it all? I mean, what's the issue? I think one of the main issues that all of us struggle with, or at least a lot of us struggle with, is we've completely disregarded the fourth commandment. And for a lot of us, we look at the Ten Commandments, and it's like we operate as if there's only 9 that are relevant today. I mean, now remember, as we look at the Ten Commandments, as we're going through them, I want to remind you, we don't follow the Ten Commandments for salvation, to be saved. Salvation comes through grace with faith in Jesus Christ, period. But the Ten Commandments, the reason they're so relevant for us today, the reason we're talking about them is because they're all about living the life God always wanted for you. They still are all about living a blessed life. They're still relevant. But a lot of us that are Christians today, we think, well, maybe only nine are relevant. I mean, think about this. If you think about the Ten Commandments, you know, only one God, yes, no idols, don't dishonor your the name, God's name, we'll skip the fourth for a moment. Honor your father and mother, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't covet what doesn't belong to you. We're like, yeah. I mean, we'd feel guilty, most of us, if we broke any of those. Some of you have seen a counselor because you've broken one of these. But do any of us still feel guilty today if we break the fourth commandment, which says very simply, every 7 days you must take one day off from work? When was the last time you felt guilty about that? I mean, have you ever sat down with a counselor and they're like, why are you here today? Well, last week I didn't take my day off. I just wanted to talk about it. It's tough for me. It's so hard. Well, no, I mean, a lot of us would agree with the great philosopher Madonna, who said this. She said, I'll rest when I'm dead. I'm hungry and life is short. I mean, this is like the American way. We're going to work. We're going to get it done. Yet maybe there's something more. Not only do we not feel guilty, a lot of us, we actually brag about breaking this commandment, don't we? I mean, I've said something like this before. Man, I haven't had a day off in like 6 weeks. Almost like a badge of honor a little bit. You know, would you say that about adultery? Nervous laughter, right? I mean, it's like, would you say, man, I cheated on my wife 6 weeks in a row? Of course, I mean, that's crazy, right? That makes us sick. But what is it that we're so flippant about the fourth commandment? Maybe, just maybe, many of us are restless because we've ignored God's design for rest. Maybe. I mean, think about how significant it is that we have a God that when he gave the top 10 commandments to the Israelites, one of the commandments was, thou shalt taketh a day off if. I mean, that was one of the top 10. If you were coming up with the top 10 for humanity, would that have been on your list? I don't think it would have been on mine. And yet, this wasn't just on God's list. Do you understand? It's the longest of the 10 commandments. There's no commandment that's longer than this one, the amount of words used. Not only was it the longest, it's one of the few commandments that carries along with it, if you disobey it in the Old Testament, the death penalty. Are you following me? It's like, if back then it was like, hey, Johnny stole something. I'll make him pay it back. Hey, Dad, Johnny actually didn't take his day off last week. Bring him in. We got to kill him. I mean, maybe there's more behind this commandment than we've ever given it credit for. For example, of course, we don't kill people today for not taking a day off. But are you killing yourself? So here's what I want to do today. I want to look through this commandment and just try to get really, really practical. And here's what I want to do. I want to look at what the commandment is, because I think if we look at verses 8 through 11 in Exodus chapter 20, it shows us what it is, how we're supposed to fulfill this commandment, and thirdly, why. And I want to spend the majority of our time today on the why, because I think the why is the most important. But let's start with the what. In Exodus 20, verse 8, God states very clearly, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Now, the word holy means to be set apart, or I like the word, it means to be uncommon. So here's what God's saying. Every 7 days, one day is to be unlike, uncommon, than all the rest. And this word Sabbath, here's what it means. Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word to cease, or to stop, or to rest. So literally, if you were just reading this, because we don't use the word Sabbath that much anymore, if you wanted a modern translation of like this verse, here's how you could read it. Remember the stopping day by keeping it holy. All right, that's the what. God, what are we supposed to stop? Like, how are we supposed to stop doing that? Like, what's the deal? So God goes on. Verse 10, he gets really, really clear. Verse 9 says this. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. I looked up this word all in the Hebrew. It's amazing. It actually just means all. I was like, what? Are you kidding me? All the work in 6 days? I have more to do. No, all your work. And then it goes on, it says, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. The seventh day is a stopping day. God, I'm confused. What am I supposed to stop again? He goes on and gets even more clear. On it you shall, let's read this out loud, not do any work. What? Not do any? And then I love what God does because he knows how much we love loopholes. It's like he knows how we think. And so he goes on and he says, let me be clear on who this applies to. So God, you're talking to me? Like, I'm not supposed to work on this, on like one day a week, I'm not supposed to work. Yeah, neither you. So no work emails. No, remember that? You have 6 days for that. Right, right. All right. Hypothetically, God, then, what if I didn't work on all 7 days, but on that seventh day, I just had my kids check my email for me just to be safe? Is that cool? Nor your son or daughter. Dang it. Okay. Shoot. All right. Well, let's say this. Let's say I don't work 7 days, but I hire someone that can work all 7 days for me because we got stuff to do, God. Is that okay? You know, what about the people that work for me? Nor your males that work for you? Okay, so no males, but females, they're okay, right? I can work the, or females, right? I mean, he's getting specific. And it's like, okay, God, I understand that. I run a factory. The factory has to run all the time, so some people need to work, I mean, all 7 days. So hypothetically, what if I mean, monkeys can be pretty smart, so what if I hired a monkey to just do some menial tasks on the factory floor all day long? Nor your animals. It's like, are you kidding me? This is amazing. God's saying every single living thing on earth is to take 1 day off a week. This is incredible to me. And it proves out. I mean, I'll give you one example. During the gold rush, way back in the day, when people are traveling from the East Coast to the West Coast to go to California to find gold, I mean, people were streaming across the country, and they were by wagon, pulled by animals. What they found is this. Some people stopped every 7 days to rest their animals. Others said, we got gold to find. They traveled all 7 days the whole time because they wanted to get there quicker. Here's what they found over and over again. Those who stopped to rest their animals every seventh day got to California faster than those who went all 7 days. It's like, go figure. God's principles actually work. Okay, God, I know that's what you said. Just one more, if you don't mind. What if I got a work permit to hire someone from another country and they work all 7 days all the time there and I don't want to mess up their rhythm? And plus, I'm going to pay them 10 times as much, so surely you're okay with that, right? Nor any foreigners. I mean, some people believe this is the very first employee bill of rights ever given. I think it may be right. And I want to challenge those of you that are Christian businessmen here today, you own your own businesses, hold your employees accountable to this. I mean, when my current assistant that works for me right now, she's incredible, by the way. I mean, amazing. She works so hard. When she first started working for me, I realized that she was working all 7 days. How did I know? Because she sent me emails all 7 days a week. She was responding to stuff all 7 days. So I sat down with her and I said, listen, I take this very, very seriously. So I want to challenge you to do the same thing. And she began to do it. And I think she's more productive now than ever. But this is where we got to be careful. Because people have misinterpreted and got legalistic about the Sabbath for thousands of years, since God instituted it. As a matter of fact, did you know, in the New Testament, the religious leaders argue with Jesus more about the Sabbath than any other topic? Why? Because they misread the intent. They started coming up with all these crazy rules. I mean, for example, even today, if you flew to Israel today and you landed on a Saturday, which is their Sabbath, which I've done before, and you walked into your hotel room, and let's say you're staying on the 15th floor, many hotels in Israel, because there's many Jews there that are still, they're getting pretty legalistic about this, you would find that the elevator stops on every single floor going up to whatever floor you're going on. You know how those kids like push all the buttons? Well, if you show up on Saturday, it's like every button's pushed. You know why? Because they believe, many of them, that if you push a button, that's work. So they want to take that away. Well, it's pretty extreme, isn't it? So here's the thing we have to wrestle with. We don't want to be legalistic about this command, but we also don't want to give ourselves license. Did you get that? What's legalistic versus what am I giving myself license to work? How do I determine, like, what's what there? Well, that's where I want to spend time on the why. Because I think in the very next verse, verse 11, God gives us two reasons that give us the why behind why he gave this command. And if you can understand the why, it'll help you discern in your own life really what the Sabbath is all about. And one of these reasons is very practical, and one of them is very, very spiritual. Now, I think the spiritual reason is 10 times more important, but let's start with the practical because it's just as important. I mean, it's very important as well. Here's the practical reason: your rest. Listen to how God puts this in verse 11. He says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that's in them. In other words, that creation, remember? When God created the world, everything you see around you, God created in 6 days. Now I think about this and I'm like, well, God, you could have just done 6 days and then just moved on. I mean, but then it says this, but he rested on the seventh day. God rested. This word rest in the Hebrew is literally the idea of taking a breath. You ever been so tired, so worn out, someone runs up to your kids right off and you're like, just give me a breath. So let me take a breath. Let me take a breath. God took a breath. Now here's the question. Was God tired? Was he out of breath? The answer is no. Isaiah 40, verse 4 says so clearly, the Lord your God does not grow weary ever. He does not grow tired. Then why on earth did God take a day of rest? You ready? It was for you. God knew we needed rest so desperately, he decided to role model it for you. Listen to how Jesus says it in Mark chapter 2. He says this, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. I love that verse. The Sabbath was made for you. God did it for you. So let me ask you a question. If God needed a day off, what makes you think that you don't? You know what I think we tell God sometimes when we decide we don't need a day off? I'm better than you, God. Now, you may not have thought that, but internally, that's a little bit what you're saying. God, I know you took a day of rest, but I don't need one. As a matter of fact, it might be deeper than that. I think in many ways, this is a sign of immaturity. It's a little childish, and here's why. Now, just go with me on this. If you're a parent, how many of your kids like to go to bed on time? No, your kids are like my kids. They don't like going to bed on time. I mean, they come up with every excuse in the book why they don't have to go to bed on time. And then they come up with every excuse why to get out of bed. I mean, I feel like my kids are more creative in their reasons to get out of bed than at any other time of their life. They like get out of bed and they're like, Daddy, I forgot what water tasted like and I got scared. I just needed to come down. I mean, they come up with a crazy excuse. I'm like, get back to bed. Now, as parents, why do we want our kids to go back to bed and rest? Because we know if they don't, they're worthless the next day. And that's where some of you are. You feel worthless in many areas of your life, and not just at work, maybe in your marriage. I mean, you're kind of, you get really, really short with your wife and your kids all the time, and you're just so restless and stressed all the time. I mean, could it be? It's because you've ignored this commandment. Car engineers, when they create cars, almost all of them create the car with a need every 3,000 miles for an oil change. Now, you can drive your car 5,000 miles, 10,000 miles, you can go 30,000 miles. You're like, man, it's great. Nothing's going wrong here. But internally, it's breaking down. And if you go 7 days without resting, you're like, I feel fine. I'm fine. You're breaking down internally. And if you burn the candle 7 days a week, you're not as bright as you think you are. So here's the principle. 6 days are for running, and the seventh is for rest. This is the very practical principle God gave us in our lives. It's how he designed us. Then God goes on and he gives us a very spiritual reason. And to me, this is the more important, weighty one for us to understand. The spiritual reason is God's blessing. God's blessing. Let me tell you how God phrased this in the command. Here's what he said. Therefore, the Lord, what? Blessed. The Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The word blessed or blessing in the Hebrew, here's exactly what it means. It means to invoke divine favor to fill with strength. Isn't that what you want in your life? Don't you want God's divine favor, his hand on your life, for him to fill you with strength? Do you understand what God's saying about the Sabbath day? What he's saying is that I blessed a day, and if you take that day, you will be blessed as well. Some of us don't believe it. Well, God, you don't understand. I have 7 days of work. No. I blessed a day, and if you would take that day, you would be blessed as well. Let me see if I can help explain this for you, because What happens in our lives is there are things in our lives that we don't like to turn over trust to God. And there's two specific areas of our life that we have the hardest time trusting God. We take things into our own hands. Let me phrase it this way, because these two things are really the two of the most scarce things in your life. How about this? I never feel like I have enough. When you answer that question, what are two things you never feel like you have enough of? Money and time. These two areas are so hard to trust God with. And here's what happens in these two areas. We take things into our own hands. We say, God, get off these two things. These are all control these things. All make it happen. And so God, in all of his sovereign grace, gave us two principles so that we could trust him in these two areas of our life. And they're so similar. This is going to be an aha moment for some of you. You've never thought about this before. What is the principle that we have for money that God gave us to trust him? It's the tithe. It's the tithe. Now, some of you are like, oh, the tithe's a ploy by the church to get my money. Don't give then. That's fine. I mean, don't. But I'm telling you, you ask anybody that's done this, here's what they will tell you. Here's the blessing God gives you. 90% with God always goes further than 100% on your own. And some of you don't believe it. It's like you feel like money's scarce, so you keep going down the path of 100% with you versus trusting God. But what's the principle of time? It's so similar. The principle of time is the Sabbath, and it's the same. God says this, 6 days with God always go further than 7 days on your own. So the principle God gave us is 6 days are for work, and the seventh day is for worship. And if you would take a day that I've blessed, and if you would worship on that day, if you would remember me, I can do more in 6 days than you can do in seven. Now, I want to get pretty practical with this, because this is a struggle for a lot of us. Here's your week. And what God is saying is he's saying, I need you to take one day out of the week and just rest. Now, does it have to be one of these days? Does it have to be Sunday? Does it have to be Saturday? No. The principle is there's one day. Now, I think in the ideal world, if you're able to, the day you come to church with your family and with you, I think that's the ideal day to take yourself. But that's not practical for all of you, because some of you work on that day, don't you? I mean, I work both these days. So this is my Sabbath right here, Friday. Now, the number one question I get from people is this. What do you do on your Sabbath? It's the wrong question. The right question is this. What do I not do on my Sabbath? Here's what I do not do. I do not do anything related to how I earn my income, my work here at the church. God gave me 6 days for that. The principle is this. It doesn't matter what day it is. If you would take a day, God says, I can get more done in your life and bless you in 6 days than when you decide to take it in your own hands and work seven. Some of you still have questions. I don't understand. No, they're literally, I do not do work on this day. No emails. I don't check emails. I don't respond to emails. I don't meet with people on this day. And you might say, well, my goodness, I mean, what if someone that works for you is in the hospital? Would you visit them? Of course I would. I mean, that's loving. That's loving my neighbor. I mean, if my neighbor needed help, of course I'd help them. I just, to the best of my ability, try to get all my work done. Not try, I do. And then I just take this day and I don't do work. I don't work on my message on this day. I don't. So here's for you, the principle for you. If you're a businessman, you don't do any business on this day. If you're a teacher, you don't teach or grade on this day. If you're a mom, you don't have to take care of your kids on this day at all. Still got to take care of your kids. But hey, let's apply it, because you might be retired. Well, here's the thing. If you're a stay-at-home mom, you know all the things you have to get done in the house throughout the week. There's one day that you take off. You may not be doing the work around the house that day. This is the principle that God's given us. Some of you are having a hard time trusting. You have a desperately, desperately hard time trusting God. The key is don't be legalistic, but don't bring your day job into your day off. And if you will, God promises he will bless you. What's amazing to me is every single scientific study has proved this. It's proved that people who only work 6 days get more done than people who work all seven. I mean, it's happened throughout history. Many cultures have tried to go to like a seven-day work all 7 days. It's utterly failed. During the French Revolution, here's an example, they were trying to get rid of a bunch of the old laws during the French Revolution. So they went to a seven-day, everyone worked all 7 days. And within months, they canceled it because the health of the French people just plummeted. Let me read you a recent study from a Stanford University. This is not a Christian study. This is Stanford University said this. They found that productivity per hour declines sharply when the work week exceeds 50 hours. Listen, if you're working 50 to 60 hours, it's a high 90% likelihood you're working across 7 days a week. Here's what they said. Productivity drops so much after 55 hours, there's no point in working anymore. Can I read that again? Productivity drops so much after 55 hours, there's no point in working anymore. People who work as many as 70 hours or more per week actually get the same or less done than people who work 55 or less. Why? Because you were never designed to work that many hours, that many days. You were designed to have a day of rest and be fresh and to be more productive on that day, on the days that you are working. That's just how God designed it to be. I think we have one of the greatest modern day examples staring right in front of us right now of how God can bless 6 days more than seven. You ready? You know what it is? Chick-fil-A. Who else loves Chick-fil-A like I do? Anybody else love? I love Chick-fil-A. I'll go to Chick-fil-A. How many of you showed up to Chick-fil-A on Sunday? I show up and I'm like, why Chick-fil-A? Well, if you want to know why, just go on their website. They list two very specific reasons they're closed. You ready? For our employees to rest and for our employees to worship. Go read it for yourself. Now, how stupid is it for a fast food restaurant to close on Sunday? Sunday is the highest grossing day of the week for fast food restaurants. I mean, it's a miracle that they even stay in business, let alone make any money at all. I mean, closing on the number one day of the week? And yet you probably have maybe never seen this before, but do you know where Chick-fil-A ranks in the list of every fast food restaurant? And all the others work, they're open all 7 days. You know where they rank in what people say is the number one measurement of average, of profitability, average sales per store? They're at the very top of the list. They're number one. And number two is not even close. $4 million per store is what they average. The next closest, Jason's Deli, 2.6, then you got Whataburger. I'm like, Whataburger? Who eats that? I mean, it surprised me a little bit. Maybe it doesn't you. You got Panera, and then you got McDonald's. Listen, how does a fast food restaurant that closes on the number one grossing sales day of the week end up number one in sales per store? How does that even happen? I don't know about you. You can come up with a lot of explanations. I'm telling you, the answer is God's hand of blessing. Is that what you're experiencing? Yeah, in your life. Is that what you experience in your life? Do you feel God's hand of blessing on you? I want to get really, really personal with this message. I told you that the number one stress I feel throughout my week is what I'm doing right now. I mean, I feel the burden. So here's how my week plays out when I'm preaching. Monday, I come in, I begin to write my message. Tuesday, I have an outline due at noon, and then I have other meetings the rest of the day. Wednesday is a heavy all-leadership meeting. I have literally meetings back-to-back leadership-wise for our church all day long. Thursday, I have more meetings, and then I try to get my whole message done by Thursday. I have to have it done by Thursday because I take my Sabbath, and then Saturday I come and run through the message and preach Saturday and Sunday. Do you understand the number of times that I leave the office on Thursday, and here's what I think? Oh no, this is not going to be good. This is pretty bad. And God, you know people need this, God. You know that. Surely you don't mind if I just slip a little bit in on this day, do you? I mean, it's for you, God. Do you know how many times I feel tempted to come work? Just a couple hours, an hour, 30 minutes. Here's the decision I made a long time ago. I will never, ever work on my message on this day. And here's why. Many of you don't know this, but every single time I step on stage, right before I come on stage, I say the exact same prayer. I say it throughout my week too. God, I want you to speak, not me. God, I pray people hear your voice, not mine. How can God answer that prayer when I don't believe his word? How can God, when I'm preaching his word, how can he move the way he wants to when I don't follow his word? I don't think he can. Let me ask you this. Do you want one of your pastors to step on stage and operate under his own power or under the blessing of God? Let me get personal with you. When you walk into work, do you want it to be on your own power or under the blessing and the hand of God? What do you think will yield better results? Some of you don't feel blessed at work, in your marriage, with your kids. Could it be one reason is you have completely ignored this principle? So the question is this. Will you trust God? Will you take one day a week? And would you say, God, whatever my primary job is that I have to earn income, I will not do that on this day. Oh, but I've got more to do. God, I believe that in my 6 days, you will do more when I am rested and with your hand of blessing than I can do if I try to leak it into all 7 days of the week. Would you take a 24-hour period and would you rest? You might say, well, I'm still not confused. I'm confused. Like, what am I supposed to do on that day? Am I supposed to just lay on the couch all day, do nothing? Well, no, listen. On my Sabbath, I focus on three things. I focus on God, my relationships, and rest. That's what I do. If you want to write those down, God, relationships, and rest. I might have some time with God, and again, if your Sabbath is on the day that you come to church, what a great time to spend with God. I spend on relationships, my wife, my kids, some friends, some hobbies. I mean, you might say, well, Ashley, do you ever like work around the house or work in the yard? I do. Again, that's not my income earning work. And what I found in my own life is I work all week with my mind. My mind is tired. Oftentimes, I can rest with my hands. Some of you that work with your hands all week long, you can rest with your mind, vice versa. But you need to determine for you what is going to be restful. And then I focus on rest. Who knows? I might take a nap. I mean, in the evening, I'll try to spend time with family or friends. I mean, I just am not trying to work. And it varies all the time, but the key is what I'm not doing versus what I am doing. You don't get legalistic, but you don't give yourself license. So here's the takeaway for you. Will you do it? I want to give you a challenge. I want to give you a one-month Sabbath challenge. If you're awesome at this and you're doing great, keep it up. Keep it up. If you struggle with this, I want to challenge you for 1 month, for 4 weeks, that you would say, I will take one day off for 1 month, and God, I want to see and test you in this, to see, God, if you can do more in 6 days than I can do on my own in 7. And you just might be surprised how faithful your God is. I'm going to pray for you. Let's all bow our heads. God, this is a topic where I know many in the audience, because I've struggled with this for so much of my life. I know many here struggle. There's a lot of men in the audience right now that feel the need to provide for their family, and they worry. There's many wives here and women who are just doing amazing jobs in the workplace, and they want to stay ahead. They don't want to fall behind. They feel so much pressure. God, I pray that you would give us all the courage today, but more importantly, the ability of trusting you, that when we rest and when we worship on one day, you truly have the ability to do more in our life when we are rested and when we're blessed the other 6 days. So may this be something that we take seriously and put into our lives. And as we do, I pray that you would bring your hand of blessing on many people here, their work, their marriages, their kids, their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.